This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey, Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. Now, typically, this is the part where I'd bust your balls on some shit you said last cast, like the fact that you murdered your hamster, or the fact that it's been weeks between shows. But there's really only one thing to say. We finally got to hang out, me and Petey, and it was a fucking great night. Shit did get a little bouncy. I mean, Petey and I did sing Looking Glass's Brandy together to my wife and little pussy from Sopranos. But that aside, it was a fucking fantastic evening. And if you haven't seen Petey live, get your shit together, people. You won't be disappointed. He's fucking hilarious. Later.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. This harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, Brandy, fetch another round.
Finally, was back. Pete and Sebastian.
Wow, what a hiatus.
Oh, man. All right, we got a lot to cover. What's going on? Where do we start?
Well, let's start with this. Pete and I got together on, what was it, Monday?
Monday night.
Unexpected. Pete was in town in Los Angeles. I had just gotten back from my honeymoon. He was down the street at a meeting, and he was going to get a hotel room. And I said, you know what, no need for that. Just come by, spend the night here. And I got to tell you, you need to move back to Los Angeles.
Oh, my God. Did we laugh our balls off?
Man.
Oh, what a good time. And people got to understand, too, if you were like, why wouldn't you just ask Sebastian to crash anyway? He literally got home from his honeymoon that day, like a few hours earlier. So there's no way you can impede on a man getting back from 18 days in another country with his wife. So when we were texting, I originally was going to be in town till Wednesday, but another longer story is Jackie accidentally rented me a cargo van.
Which I didn't get to see. Did you take a picture of this thing?
Oh, man, I meant to, too. I didn't. 14-foot-long cargo van, no windows, no back windows on the back door. Like, you know, no need to look at that mirror, that rearview mirror. It was just so. It's a long story how I ended up with that thing, but the point is, I text Sebastian because his old house, which he hasn't sold or rented yet, I know, is literally right down the block from where my meeting is, and the new one's not too far anyway. So I text him going, I know you just landed, hey, can I get the code if there's nothing in your driveway? I got this fucking tank, which I'll explain later, and I'm just looking for a place to dump it while I walk around here. So, you know, then he goes, what are you doing? I say, give me, and then next thing you know, I'm crashing, and dude, the house, the best way I can describe Sebastian's house is I said, if you will go in that house as a visitor and you don't gush, like over, just over the top, just be yourself and let it all out, you're a dick. Like, it's so nice, you can't just try and blow it off, like, yeah, no, good for you. It's like you go in and go, what the fuck? It is gorgeous, man.
Thanks. And we are happy to have you here. And, you know, because, hey, listen, I'm not here a lot. I'm bouncing in and out of the country or in and out of the city. And it was nice to have some welcomed company, not someone looking for. Listen, I love Lana's friends. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But when they come over, we don't have that type of time that we had. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, all that deep talking and laughing.
Yeah, it's not like that. So it was nice and refreshing. We went outside. Nice. Didn't have to do this, but Pete stopped by, picked up a bottle of wine, and then brought a six-pack for himself. Although I did have Heineken's here for you, he brought his own beer, and we just hung out outside. And first of all, how'd you sleep?
I got to get into this, man. I slept fantastic. And let me, the accommodations, my, not to babble on too much.
Hold on. We got a problem. One second.
All right. God, it's just too many workers at his house now.
Yeah. Sorry. I got to apologize. We got a full-blown leaf blower going on outside here. I mean, it's like the timing is unbelievable. It's like as soon as I said we're going to do the podcast, and as soon as you said you were ready, the guy's, there's no leaves.
I know. It's late July, and this guy's like, oh, I don't know. But, so, long story short, I drove home from Boston, immediately had to fly back to L.A., and then I just hadn't gotten much sleep, and I didn't have a hotel room, and I didn't know what I was going to do. So then when you called and invited me over, then I said, oh, I don't know. And then you leave a message going, the bed's already made. I'm like, come on. I get to the house. At the end of the night, we go upstairs, this winding, one of these kind of staircases where you feel like you should be coming down it with a glass of brandy. Yeah, when somebody is at the door, like the kind of house where when you come, you're put in the doorway and you don't go past the doorway till the owner of the home comes down to the doorway. Yeah, not a regular house where you walk in and they go, tell them I'm in the kitchen, right? No, you wait by the doorway. I'll come down the stairs. You'll see me because it wraps around. I love it. But anyway, he takes me upstairs to my room, my own bathroom, my own shower. And I even said to Jackie today, when we're talking about, I go, even the towel, I go, when I dried my face, I literally held my, this third time he used literally, I held my face in the towel for an extra 2 minutes because it was the softest fucking towel I ever felt. It was like giving me a massage. What is that made out of? Even your towels. I was like, Then you bring me to my room, and come on, man. There's a sheet on the couch already laid out with a couple of pillows, a blanket, and two chocolates on the pillow on a dish, which I ate like a drunken slobber. Bottle of water.
I gotta explain. We don't have a bed yet for our guest room. So, you know, me being the way I am, Lana being the way she is in regards to, like, accommodations, we were apologetic that there was no bed for you to sleep in. We had a couch in the guest room, so we had to make up the couch as best as we could.
Oh, God.
So that's why there was no bed.
Oh, it was beautiful accommodations. Then he's like, here's your own shower. Every room has its own shower. Dude, you could, if you wanted to, turn your place to an illegal boutique hotel. I mean, easily, the front area is the bar. Every room has its own shower or tub. And I'm not just talking like a shower and tub. I'm talking like the guest room shower is like as good as your nicest master bedroom that someone would have. The beautiful pool with the waterfall, the couches. I was telling Jackie about, there's this like long outdoor fireplace, this sort of like long, it looks like it could be a bench where you put your drinks, but it has nice rocks on it and flame comes out of it, really nice. And then I was telling there's also an outdoor fireplace, like an indoor type fireplace, but outside, and a curtain that wraps around to isolate the room. It's just really cool. And when I got out there, it was just me and everything was lit up. And I said to Sebastian, I go, is it all lit up for me? And he's like, yeah, effect. I told Jack, I go, it was all lit up before she could finish. She goes, of course it is, guy. You're coming over. Fire it all up. But then I told her the address because she really wanted to see the photos. I couldn't do it justice. And she went online. She was gushing this morning. She was like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful. There's a waterfall. Was that on? I don't think that was on when I was there.
Oh, yeah. No, come on. It was on.
I had too many beers in me.
Yeah, no. It was just trickling down. Just a little water effect. And before you came over, we didn't tell you this. Before you came over, Lana and I were preparing the house like we were, bidding for the Olympics. I mean, we're talking, you know, folding this, folding that. I said, get the fire out. yeah, you gotta. I don't know. I don't know how people do it when you're having a guest come over, especially when it's kind of like spur of the moment and whatnot. But don't you tidy up and present the place? Possibly dim the lights. Set the, you know, just set a mood.
You like to. I mean, especially because when I came over, I got to admit, you guys did it very casually because obviously the place was spotless and beautiful. And it was just casual enough where it didn't look like you. I wouldn't guess that you guys ran around, tried real hard. It looked great. But the way it was set up, you made me feel as soon as I walked in that you wanted me to be there. And that's just so, I can't tell you. It wasn't like, don't make him waste money at a Holiday Inn. You really made me feel like you wanted me to be there. And it's the best compliment I can give, man.
Yeah, no, man. We loved having you. And just let us know when you decide to put the fucking house up for sale in New York and come back out.
Well, if I do come back out, I'm never going to be able to sell this house, man. It's a limited market for someone who wants the house I have out here. But maybe we could talk about renting the other property? I mean, the shallow end is perfect for Sadie and the other pool. Oh, it's funny because when Jimmy from Boston will get a kick out of this, which I also met Jimmy from Boston, which is another story, which was awesome. But I'm walking to Sebastian's, okay? I got my cargo van parked legally on some road. I pass a liquor store. I go in, and I know my battery's dying on my phone because it's a piece of shit. And I get some wine, and I get a six-pack. As I walk out, it dies. Now, I don't remember your exact address. I remember the block, and I think I know the address. And I'm like, shit, if I go down there and it's not the address I think it is, then I'm going to have to walk all the way up the block, find some place where I can plug in my phone, and it's such a shit battery, you gotta wait for it to charge up. It doesn't just plug in and work. And then wait for it to charge up just to read your text of your address. So I go down to where I think your house is, 618, let's just say Jones Street or 719 Jones Street, hypothetically, and it's not. That's not an address. And then I look across the street, and I see what looks like your Porsche, and I'm like, that could be his Porsche, but fuck. Sebastian's neighborhood, that ain't narrowing shit down, if you know what I'm saying, folks. It ain't like, you know, some neighborhoods where you go, you hear the Joneses got a Porsche? So then there's another car, we'll just say another beautiful car, which is Lana's, and I'm like, I think that's the one he said is Lana's. And I walk up closer, and then I peek in, and you know what capped it for me, Jimmy from Boston? There was the little scooter. There was Sebastian's scooter. I'm like, oh, that's his scooter.
Come on, Biscuit. Sack up, will you, brother?
Who's got a Porsche and a scooter? Only Sebastian.
I'm telling you, the scooter, it's... Thank God I got that thing. And I don't even know if I should be telling this on the cast. I don't even have a scooter license anymore. It expired.
That's cool.
Is that cool to drive illegally with a... With no license?
To drive a scooter legally is bouncy. To drive a scooter without a license, that's cool. That's like your way of saying, if you got pulled over by a cop, you're like, I don't normally do this. I just hopped on.
You know what I mean? Do you think he'd let me go if I said, you know, I don't got a license for this thing? And he'd go, I don't blame you.
Yeah, I think he'd be more like, why would you? Why would you? Get out of here. Only drive it at night. Don't be crazy. And especially when the new special comes out, if he knows you and he pulls you over and he knows who you are, he would be more disappointed as a fan of Sebastian Maniscalco, the comedian, if you had a license. Like, I think he'd rather go home to his wife and go, you know who I pulled over today? Who's our favorite comedian? Sebastian. Really? Yeah. He didn't have a license. It's cool. It's cool. Right? Yeah, that's how it would roll.
Yeah, it was actually a permit. I had a permit. It just expired, I think, June 21st. So now every time I hop on it, I'm breaking the law.
That's what makes it cool. Now, do you have to take another test?
Yeah, can you believe it? I've had a permit. I went in for the permit twice and never took the driving portion of the test. And I had a year to do it, and I've never done it. So I don't have a license, which brings me to how do you think, again, is there a way around this? Do you think, and I hate to bring up our friend again, J.J. Watt, but if Watt bought a scooter, do you think he'd have to take the test?
Well, I think you're throwing out a big hypothetical as far as whether the best defensive player in the NFL would be caught dead on a scooter.
Okay, let's do a Harley.
Nah, you know what, though? He would get a scooter. I'd get that scooter. I've seen your scooter. We give it a hard time, but the truth is it's pretty cool, man. No, I do not think they'd make J.J. Watt. Can I ask you a question? When you go for the permit, do you take the scooter?
Yeah.
You gotta take a driver's test. You'd be like, "God, I just drove it here."
Yeah, I just pulled up in it.
I just pulled up. I'm fine. I'm driving it all home. I'm taking it home.
Yeah, I could take a driving test for a car, but for a scooter, come on, man.
Right? Like, imagine you're going for a helicopter test and you land in the parking lot in a helicopter. Let's do this. So, I mean, you should take the test just for shits and giggles, right? It's got to be. What do you go around cones and shit?
Yeah, you go around cones. And what you have to do is. What was it? Was that a sneeze?
Oh, no, it was a laugh. I'm like, guy, I drove Porsches on ice in Finland. What the fuck are we doing here? This is absurd.
Yeah, no, you got to take a test around cones, and then you have to. And you can't put your feet on the ground. I saw it on YouTube. I actually YouTubed the test.
Yeah.
And you got to go around cones and then do a circle. And during this whole time, your feet can't hit the ground or you fail the test. Also, what you have to be able to do is all the controls on the console, you have to hit them blindly. So they say, okay, beep the horn. And you have to beep the horn without looking for the horn.
Right, but see, first of all, as far as the feet touching, who's biking barefoot? I mean, why would my feet touch you? And
your shoes can't hit the ground.
I understand that, but I'm saying, why in real life, yeah. I might have to put my foot down here or there. I disagree with that rule. But and as the horn goes, if you were in a situation where a car was coming over, you hitting that little horn, and you going, motherfucker!
Yeah, when you hit that horn, there is no way you could feel like a man.
Is it loud enough?
As soon as you hit the horn, forget it. You might as well just go park the scooter somewhere. It's so embarrassing. Because here you are, grown man, and I try to man it up on the scooter. I try to put the leather on every once in a while at night. You know, try to look cool. It's just, you don't look cool driving a scooter. At least I don't.
No, you don't do leather on a scooter, man. That means you're like wishing you were on a motorcycle. God.
Yeah.
What? You don't do that with a scooter. You go the opposite, man. You go like, you know,
Matthew. Like a cardigan?
Yeah, Matthew Broderick takes a scooter in a suit. That's cool. You're trying to be Stallone and Cobra without the bike or something. I don't even know if we had a bike in that. Listen. When I bike on my bicycle with Jackie, especially on vacations, on this people walking on the path, she'll do the bell, ding ding, and I always,
ooh.
I do the. You're right. Coming on the right. But I do have to say, I don't like to do the bell, but when she does the bell, it's nice because you don't have to say anything. Just bell it up, get out of the way. I don't do the bell. I have to let her do the bell. So I hear you, man.
I can't stand when people. From behind me, go up on your left, up on your left.
I know.
Hey, you know what? Just come up on the left. It's not like I'm gonna come and do some, like who's walking in a serpentine where you have to say up on your left.
Well, you know what it is. I've done the other route where I don't say anything and I don't like to say anything, so I'll buzz by people like a half a foot from their wrist. But like you said, what are you planning on doing? Some all of a sudden out of nowhere juke left?
Yeah.
So but then they do that when I pass and they go, Jesus, could have let us know. Let you know what? I've done that. I turn around and yell at them. Let you know what? That I just passed you? I'm already gone. Let it go. So, you know, it's like you can't please everybody. So you do. The bell is nice, though, because especially if you're in a vacation town where everybody understands that a dinging bell is a bicycle. Like, you do a bell in New York City. So what are you selling, ice cream, asshole?
Yeah.
So what do you do? Do you do the beep, or do you just, when someone seems to cut over, or do you just slow down and not ever verbalize anything?
I don't do anything. I mean, it's like when you drive a scooter, you got to be on the defensive. So you gotta take into consideration people are going to cut you off. They're going to pop out of nowhere. A door might fly open. So they can't really see you. So I don't really blame them. So you know what? I'm like, you know what? I'm the guy on the scooter. So I'm half to blame that I'm zipping around town and nobody could barely see me.
Right. All right. And we got to get into your honeymoon. I know you didn't go to Rome, but are there any other parts, like in Italy, everybody was on scooters?
Everywhere. Everybody's on a scooter, and they got bigger scooters there. The one I have is small. It's a little Vespa, but they got, like, you know, large scooters, almost looking like motorcycles. And listen, I'm hard-pressed to believe that anybody in Italy has a license to drive these things.
I agree. You think they're all going? And the beauty, though, is everybody's on them, and sometimes they're in herds, like packs of them. And if everyone in L.A. was on them, that'd be a nice area to be cruising around on a scooter if everyone was on them.
I know. If everybody went on these things, I don't think we'd have half of the traffic that we have here. But I got to tell you, I just took it out this morning to go to the gas station for, you know, some gum and whatnot. And yesterday I went out to Chipotle to grab Lana and I a little lunch. And I went out, came back. She's like, "You're back already?" I go, "Yeah." That's the benefit of the scooter.
That's just beautiful, man. And you know, where you live, you need a scooter because not only is Sebastian's house so beautiful, but and I know I'm gushing, folks, but it just is real nice. And but the area where you live is so nice too that, like, when I parked my tank of a van and I wanted to just walk around and, like you said, get some gum, get a coffee, every other place is some Italian designer I've never heard of in my life. Then I went past Ciccone's, a restaurant where you had taken me and Jackie.
Yeah.
And out in front, I was telling her this morning, I literally kind of laughed to myself because out in front it was Porsche, Bentley, Jaguar. I mean, if you had a BMW, it would have been considered a lemon. I mean, it was insane. Now, I said to Jackie, does that mean everybody that comes to this place is driving these kind of cars? And she goes, no, I would bet, you know, some people aren't driving those cars, and the cars that aren't as nice get put down someplace out of sight. They only put the nice ones up front. That was her guess. What do you think? Or you would know.
I would think those people that are driving those type of vehicles give the valet money to keep it up top. Or if it's like, you know, a $250,000 car, they ain't going to chance that driving that over to the lot and having somebody ding it. So they leave it up top. It's a liability issue, I think.
But if I pulled up to get valeted in a Datsun, and then I even had the money to go, leave it up here, man, I'm in a rush after I eat, and gave him like a fat tip to leave it up front with the Ferraris, is he going to go... I would love to, Guy, but we just cannot keep a Datsun in the oval driveway. I can't do it.
Maybe you say, you know what, keep your money. We have to bring this down to the lot.
I would imagine there is, because every car was unbelievable. Now, is Lana driving the scooter ever?
No. However, when she gets on the scooter, my helmet looks 8 times too big for my head. She puts the helmet on. I think she gets cuter than she already is.
Pinky Tuscadero.
Tuscadero. She puts the thing on it. She puts blue, like these blue glasses. She's got like these blue tint glasses. I'm like, I gotta take a photo.
Do you feel a little cooler on the scooter or more comfortable in your own skin when she's on the back or solo?
Oh, when she's on the back, we have a ball.
I didn't ask if you had fun. I asked you if just at a red light, do you feel a little more comfortable if there's a man next to you on a motorcycle because she's on the back? Because then you could be like, God, I'd love to be on my motorcycle too, but I'm lucky I got her on this. She gets nervous.
Yeah, you know what? You pull up to a light and the guy pulls up in a Harley and you got a scooter with your wife on the back. I got to say, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if I'm solo and the guy comes up, and I got a scooter. Sometimes I've even gotten looks, like the guy turns over at the light and looks at the scooter and he just goes, what a putz.
See, what kind of world are we living in? Is that guy kidding me, man? It's good for the environment, the scooter is. It's good on gas. Does less damage to the road. Come on.
Vespa dà fiducia, perché nasce dalla progettazione più moderna, dalla tecnologia più progredita. E allora, vai con Vespa.
Now, before we get into the whole honeymoon, because I got a lot to ask and we're all dying to hear about it, I want to throw a little tidbit out just to clean the palate before we get into the honeymoon. Mm. I want to ask what you would have done. This is a real quick one. In my hotel room in Atlanta, and I sneezed. I'm at the desk, and I sneezed. It's kind of late at night. And the guy in the room next to me, through the wall, said, God bless you. What the fuck is that?
Wait a minute. You're in your hotel room and you're at the desk and your next door neighbor said, God bless you.
God bless you. Yeah, through the wall.
Do you say thank you?
That's what I'm asking you.
No.
Nah, I didn't say. I whispered. I didn't say a word, but I just whispered to myself, respect the wall, dick. You know? I mean, come on, man. I know you're over there. I just like, I don't know who. I like not to. When I'm in a hotel room, I feel like no one else is in the building. I don't need to hear you next door doing that to me.
I know. You'd like to think that the two rooms on either side of you are just not occupied that week.
Right. And you know what? On some level, if I hear a woman's voice in there, it's like sitting next to a woman on a plane. It's just more comfortable. I'd rather have women in both rooms. I'm not going to knock on their door and say, want to do it? And they could be with, you know, they could be 80 years old. I don't give a shit. I just feel like the rooms are being cleaner. It's classier.
Do you ever look at somebody when they're going into their room on your floor and just size them up and go, the room must smell or something?
Yeah, well, I look at them and I just think somebody like that was obviously in my room at some point before me. It just kills me.
That's what I like to think, that you're the only one that's ever checked into that room.
Do they have some sort of, has anyone invented like for their classy, upscale, high-traveling individual, even staying at top-shelf hotels. There's still, as I get older, a little bit more of that. What's going on out there?
The fucking guy is blowing.
Is that a lightsaber? What is he having, a Star Wars fucking sword?
No, I don't know what he's doing. That guy's blowing rocks.
Oh, my God.
Look at this. There's nothing.
Oh, he's like, you know why? He's like, they're home. They've been gone 18 days. We haven't been here.
For all I know, they weren't even here for the 2 weeks I was gone.
Unbelievable.
Man, look at this. I got to apologize again for the unprofessionalism here, listeners. I mean, a lot of podcasts happen in like a soundproof room. Not ours. We're dealing with the elements here. Look at the guy still doing it.
Well, you didn't say anything to him. Why would he stop? You think he's listening to the podcast live?
Great show. Great, great show.
Oh, you giving him the stop sign?
Hey, I'm like, enough. And he's looking at me like I got three heads.
So they got to invent like an upscale sleeping bag, even for the five-star hotel. As I get older, I just feel a little uncomfortable knowing anybody slept in that bed other than me. You know?
I know.
Not at a guest's house. Not at a friend's house.
No. You know, listen, I don't know how many people have been in the bed, how many people slept on the sheets, what are they doing? One time I checked into a hotel, there was a booger wall. Did we get into this? With the booger wall? Yeah, some guy looked like he was just picking his nose and just wiping it on the wall, right next to the bed. And it was just collecting there. You know where this was? This was, you ever played a room up in Poughkeepsie, Bananas?
No, I never played that one. Oh, if I did, yes I did, but I didn't stay over.
The Holiday Inn up there has a booger wall in room 17.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Dawson, Dudley.
Call me Booger.
All right. Booger.
Excuse, please, but why do they call you Booger?
I don't know.
So, okay, we've been gone here 2 weeks. Lots been going on. Let's touch, before we even get into the honeymoon, let's touch on the Jimmy from Boston meeting.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It was just great. They, first of all, everyone who came out to Boston, the Laugh Boston is a great club. And I played the Atlanta Punchline, which is one of my favorite clubs. Marcy, who runs it, just thanks for the weekends, guys, and everyone who came out. And more people are coming up about the cast. And I can't tell you, man, every time someone comes up and says anything about the cast, it's always appreciated. And anything about anything, man. One guy named Ira Macklin from Atlanta wanted me to do his cast. And I didn't have time to get back to him. And he listens to us all the time. And then he sends a message going, oh, I saw you, but I didn't want to bother you before the show or something. I'm like, dude, I'm not fucking John Lennon tuning my guitar, all right, people? If you see me anywhere, come over, man. Say hi anytime, man. So having said that, I met these two sweethearts in Boston. Their name were Chrissy and Erin. Young girls in their early 20s, real cute girls, well put together as far as look like they got a good future and had a good upbringing. And I bring that up, bro, because they grew up in Fredonia, in my town.
Wow.
So after the show, I bought them both a beer, and I just, because, you know, I wanted to ask them all these questions about Sadie. I'm like, did you go to college parties? Where do you go to make out? Where should I look? You know. So they were great, man. And there's just so many great people I met. And then there's Jimmy from Boston, baby.
Petey.
Also, that guy Steve, who I played at his wedding. Remember when
I remember.
He took a road trip with his wife Jenna to Boston with some friends to see the show. Nice. He's such a fucking great guy. So they hung out with us after the show as well. And Jimmy from Boston, now he waits off to the side until everyone's done with all the meet and greets, and then he just gives a slight wave like, come on over, you know? And I've never met the guy before in my life. And even then, the guy just oozes class. He doesn't come up after the show when you're meeting people, selling some DVDs and CDs, and go, Petey! And just take over.
Yeah.
He sips a beer in the corner with his wife. By the way, her name is Lovely. What a name. How great is that? How great is that?
Yeah.
So I go over. We hug. I've never seen, met the guy before in my life. We chat for like 5 minutes. And after about 5 minutes, I swear to God, man, it was as if I fucking known the guy for years. We drank beers till like 1:30 in the morning. We at one point left and went to another location. You know you're enjoying the company you're with.
Oh, yeah.
When it moves to another location and you move with it.
Wow, I feel a little like maybe I should have went out with the guy. I met him before the show.
Yeah, that's a class move, though, too. That's a class move. Especially, you know, because you were at the Wilbur and there was a lot of people and there was the theater and you brought him to the back. That was a class move. Yeah,
maybe we should have went out for a beer. Who am I kidding? I wouldn't have went.
I mean, we just drank in the bar of the club. And then we just walked across the lobby. But we had a lot of laughs, man. We got to dissecting. I don't know if I should get into this with you. It's
come on.
I don't know if you'll be into it, but this is what it comes down to. The Montreal Comedy Festival was playing this past week when you were on your honeymoon.
Yeah.
Right? And we were talking about the festival and, you know, you people go there and they try to make some sort of a statement. And I was saying how, you know, the festival's been good to me. But, you know, the whole idea of everybody getting judged and rated, it never really kind of sat well with me. So I go, what do you think? Here's the question. Hear the whole question out before you give the answer. If you, like, let's say I went back, or a comedian, I go back and I'm playing the gala and I'm hugely famous. And you go out, the gala is a big theater and there's other comedians on it. It's filmed for television and all these people there. And you come out, and as I go, Pete Corielli, I come out and I go, hey, hello, everybody. And as I'm saying this, I pull out a handkerchief from my pocket, nice and slowly. I'm wearing my nice suit, and I just look at the crowd, and I'm like, I only came back here for one reason, and that's to say, you know, F this festival, something like that. I'm not saying it's me. Let's say a comedian comes back and goes, I only came back to say, fuck this city. Half of you speak French, the other half English. Make up your mind. And more to the point, you like impressions? This is my impression of this fucking festival. And then you turn around and you literally take a shit onto the handkerchief. Okay?
Jesus.
Then you button up and you walk out, my question is, do you think if you just buttoned up and walked right out, got on a cab right to the airport, you think you'd get out of the country? Or you think you'd get stopped? Do you think they'd raid? And the one comedian I was working with who I really like a lot, this guy Tom Dustin, he goes, I don't think you'd get out of the building. I go, I think the shock value, everyone would be like, what the fuck? What did he just do? And you got to remember, you buckle up and just walk right out. Do you think they'd radio the border and be like, if you see him at the border, don't let him out? He's just
Yeah. You wouldn't make it out.
What are you gonna do? They're gonna stop you at the border because you took a dump on stage?
I don't know, but it just sounds too aggressive not to be punished.
It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. But I mean, you know, they do say they have very loose. One comedian said they have very loose laws as to what is art on stage. So, you know, you could always argue it was art. But anyway, we had a ton of beers and dissected that for a while. I had a lot of laughs.
Oh, shit. How many beers did you have for that topic to come up?
You'd be surprised. Not as many as you would think, man. Where do we start, man? How is the moon?
The moon, man. I got to tell you, we had an amazing time. I don't even know where to begin. We went to Ravello, which is up in the mountains off the Amalfi Coast, about a 20-minute probably boat ride to Positano. And, I mean, we did so many things. We took a cooking class. And if anybody is going to the Amalfi Coast, I highly recommend this cooking class. It's called Mama Agata, A-G-A-T-A. Look it up on Google. We went there, it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock. We were the first to arrive. Sweet woman, she's probably in her mid-40s. It's her and her entire family at their home, and it's overlooking the water. She's got her own garden. She grows her own food. Very welcoming. She had a slice of lemon cake that she cut. She made this beautiful lemon cake. And there's about 12 people in the class.
Is the house real big or just, you know, modest?
It's a very modest home, but, I mean, it's literally on the mountain, and you wake up staring at water. And she's got a beautiful outside with a long table. I mean, it's a nice home. It's old, though. It's been in the family for 200 years, the house. So it's like... another thing, which I really enjoyed in Italy, it seems to be a history where, you know, the house has been in the family for 200 years. Like, where do you think the house that you grew up in is going to be in 200 years? Do you think Sadie's going to be living in it? Or I'm sorry, like Sadie's kid? It's not going to happen.
No, I mean... No, not at all. I mean, my parents don't even live where I grew up anymore.
Oh, so it's sold already.
Oh, where I grew up?
Yeah.
Sold as soon as my older brother graduated college. See ya.
Gone. Yeah, so there was something to be said about just the history of the house. And
do you think, though, this house you're talking about, right, and the way you're describing it, man, and I've been to the Amalfi Coast, it's stunning, and we've all seen photos. Let's say you never were a comedian, right, and let's just say you grew up out there. And your family owned a little restaurant that brings in, you know, $60,000, $70,000 in American-level money a year. But that house has been there for years, and you have it now to raise a family. You think you'd be so satisfied, or you think, you know, this is just chill. I love it. I got the restaurant, the view. Or do you think you'd yearn for more? As beautiful as it is, you think you'd yearn to be like, I got to go see and do shit. I can't stay here and just fucking make lemon cake. I mean, because doesn't it sound great? Tom Rhodes has a joke where, you know, it's a great vacation where you light up a joint and look around and try to figure out how you could live here. What a great joke, man.
Oh, no, I thought that myself. I'm sitting there thinking, maybe we should do a cooking class here in the Amalfi Coast. How hard is it?
No, you got to do one L.A. style, Mediterranean L.A. food in your backyard. Come to L.A. After we put the food on the grill, after we prepare, we all take a dip by the waterfall. Then we dry off
Oh, the towels alone. You know what they'll be saying about the towels on Yelp? And then we come back and we finish up the food. They'll be leaving. Go, when you go to L.A., I know you want to see the dumb L.A. tar pits in Hollywood. You got to go to this block. And they got this cooking thing. She does. Oh, my God. But keep going. This is fascinating.
No, you know, I do think, to your point, I don't think the people want to leave. I mean, I think they're happy. I don't think it's about money. I don't think it's about, like, getting this or getting that. It's simple. It's family and food and fun, the three Fs. And these people are content, and the kids are serving us food. The kid came out. He was, like, 9 years old. He reminded me of an Italian Manny from Modern Family. He came out. He's serving us food. We're drinking wine that they made. It lasted for about 6.5 hours, and I came home that night and went to bed at 6:30. That's how exhausted I was from this cooking class. But wow, it was great. It was great. We got the recipe. This is how fantastic the cooking class is. This Sunday, I've invited my family over, and we're going to make the recipes that we made when we were at the cooking class here at the house. I mean, just great experience. Then we did a boat ride. We got a boat, private boat, speed boat, picked us up at 10 o'clock. The guy was fantastic, Giancarlo. Beautiful, by the way, I'm sorry, the peaches in the Amalfi Coast, these white peaches that they grow there, I've never tasted anything like it, and I'm dying to see if I could get some of this stuff shipped here to the States. They were making Bellinis out of this stuff, and I'm not a Bellini guy, but again, I came back here, I told Lana, we got to make a house beverage, and it's going to be the Bellini.
What's How a, nice what's would it a be? Bellini? What's a Bellini?
It's champagne, or I'm sorry, it's Prosecco and peach puree, basically.
Really?
And they stir it up. This guy at the we stayed at a place called Hotel Caruso, and there's a guy by the name of Tommaso, who's a bartender there, makes the best peach Bellini I've ever had in my life, and we have now adapted the peach Bellini here at our house as our house beverage. Now,
I don't even know if I there's like 10 bars in my town. If I walked into any one of them and ordered peach Bellini, they'd be like, "Not only do I not make it, I never even fucking heard of it."
Yeah, they don't have fruit. You gotta have one. You just gotta have one.
Yeah.
The boat ride was probably the best thing we did on the trip. Picked us up at 10 o'clock. The guy's at your disposal. Whatever you want to do. You want to go to Capri, he'll take you to Capri. You want to go to Positano, you want to go to wherever you want to go, he'll take you. But we said, you know what? Yeah, let's go to Capri. We went, we walked around the town. Have you been to Capri?
Yeah.
It's a tourist trap.
The top is the shops up there, too, are like the really high-end kind of clothes shopping.
But I mean, you could get clothes anywhere, you know? It's like, but what we really enjoyed, the Blue Grotto was closed, but he took us around the back of the island, and there's a thing there called the Green Grotto, where you just dive in the water, and you literally go into this green-like cave. You know, the water looks green. I said it was so refreshing to go into the water, get a little salt on you, and where he parked the boat and where the Green Grotto was kind of far, and to be honest with you, I'm not a fantastic swimmer. I go, guy, listen, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make it there. And this is more embarrassing than the scooter. He whipped out 2 noodles, like those floaty noodles.
Oh, yeah.
And me and Lana took the noodles into the grotto.
Why wouldn't you? You're on vacation. You don't need to be treading water. And you could make out with the noodles because they hold you up, you know?
Yeah. No, listen. There was a lot of people in the grotto. Not a lot. I'd say about 24 people were probably in the water surrounding us. We got 17-year-old kids. There's a 10-year-old treading water, and here I am, 41 years old, with the noodle under my armpits, treading water like a 1-year-old. What a sick
I didn't realize there was so many people. I did the Blue Grotto. I didn't know there was a, even though there was a silver one, but that sounds really goddamn cool, man.
Oh, it was great.
I stayed in Positano, and when you passed it, did you get out in Positano?
Yeah, we went. We went for a drink up at this hotel. God, it's slipping my memory right now, but just, you know what we like, and we figured this out on the on our honeymoon. Anytime you go somewhere for a vacation, you always hear people say, for example, Paris. Oh, you got to go to the Louvre, which is a museum. Or you got to go to the Eiffel Tower or whatever it is. You got to go to the Vatican. I told Lana, I go, I ain't a sightseer. I'm not a guy to go look at paintings. I'm not a guy to go look at statues. I'm a guy who likes to relax, enjoy the food of wherever we're at. And I said to Lana, I'd be happier going to the nicest hotel in each city, having a drink in the lounge, and just enjoying each other's company rather than, we went to Paris, we went to this Louvre.
Yeah.
And first of all, the tourism, and this is what bothers me about tourists, they look like tourists. I mean, there's a certain uniform that they wear. You know, we were talking about this when you were over, like this sandal, that's not a sandal, it's like a hiking sandal.
Yes.
Right? And they all have it on with the shorts, the fanny pack.
Wear your sandal because it's going to be hot and you don't want to be in sneakers. You're going to want something to breathe, but flip-flops, you'll flop all the I will, Fran. The sandal's great. You're right.
Yeah, but you just wonder when these people are packing this stuff, it's like, don't you want to look halfway cool? I mean, a backpack? I mean, a backpack?
There's no regard for what they're going to. It's all about their comfort level. You know, like, I mean, they go, you go into the Vatican. You ever see them in the Vatican? And they're wearing, like, fucking hiking gear. You're hiking gear. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, you should be in a national park.
Yeah. The outfit doesn't match the destination.
No, and it should.
And it should. And listen, I know you got to take a camera or whatever, but I had a camera. And I didn't wear it around my neck. You see a lot of people wear the strap around their neck, and then the big camera kind of dangles off their belly. I like to take the camera and do a side, like a side shoulder job on it, where I just hang it over my shoulder, and it just kind of hangs there, you know? Like,
yeah.
If somebody went by and ripped it off my shoulder, that's the chance I'm taking because it looks better, right?
I do that too. And as far as someone ripping it off your shoulder, I look around all the people around me. And if I was someone who was going to rip a camera off your shoulder, I'm like one of the last guys you'd risk fucking taking it from.
Yeah.
You too, right? I'm going to look at you and go, ah, he looks like he could be from New York, Italian guy. He'll chase me seven fucking blocks, motherfucking me, till I drop it. You know? I'm going to look for a guy from Iowa. You know? I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just saying, man. There's a, you know, that's, it's like when you get in a fender bender. If the guy's small, you're more inclined to yell.
Yeah. So yeah. So we like doing that type of stuff rather than seeing the sights. So, again, we basically ate and drank our way through the entire country of Italy and Paris. Like I said, we started in Amalfi. We spent four nights there. Then from Amalfi, we went to Tuscany. And we spent five nights in Tuscany. And the highlight of the Tuscan experience was going to see Andrea Bocelli at a place called Theater of Silence. Now, let me paint you a picture.
He's a singer, right?
Yeah, he's a tenor. He's an Italian tenor who actually grew up in Tuscany.
Lou, get us some Bocelli right now.
Can we get a little Bocelli? Maybe a little. He's got that song that "Never Say Goodbye." You know that song?
I know the way Bon Jovi does it.
Oh, he's got, Bon Jovi does the song.
Say goodbye, never say goodbye.
No.
I know, man. Lou, welcome back, DJ Lou. He was also over in Leeds, England, following, of course, Matchbox 20 all over the world. He follows Matchbox 20.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
So, back, what is the Silent Theater, man?
Silent Theater is an outdoor theater in basically the rolling hills of Tuscany. For those of you who are familiar with the Hollywood Bowl here in Los Angeles, that's the best way I can describe it. But imagine the Hollywood Bowl in the middle of rolling hills and a vineyard.
Wow.
And he did a concert there. It holds about 8,000 people. And he had commissioned this theater to be built in his hometown. And he only plays there once a year. And the time he's playing there happened to be the time we were there. And after he plays there, it's dark the whole year. Nobody else plays there.
Oh, man.
That would be like you going back to your hometown and say, listen, build me a theater. I'm going to come back once a year. And then the rest of the time, the theater's silent.
You know what would be the funniest part? If you set all that going, he does built the whole theater. He only does one show a year, and then it's closed the whole rest of the year. And we went to the show, and here's the kicker. It wasn't even sold out. I'm sure it's like everyone in Italy wants to go every year, right?
Oh, yeah. No, it was packed. Now, the best part of the show, it was half opera, half like him singing his hits. And after the show, we are exiting. It's along a dirt road, and you have to exit kind of like on this dirt road. So everybody's kind of exiting along this dirt road. It's just about, I'd say, 10:30 at night. And as we're walking down this dirt gravel road, there is a man coming down the pipe. I mean, right between the people, kind of brushing the people aside. And I don't know what was going on because he's kind of screaming in Italian. Oh, no, no, no. And you see behind him, Buccelli on a horse.
Come on.
Riding through the crowd. Now,
that is the best exit I've ever heard of in my life.
I told Lana, could you believe it? Now, the kicker is, and I don't know if you know this, because I'm assuming you don't because you had to ask me who he was.
I heard of him.
Okay. He's blind.
Oh, my God. He's missing it.
What?
All this, the greatest exit in the history of entertainment, and he's missing it.
Yeah. The guy's blind, riding a horse through his fans. I mean, there is no safety precautions whatsoever. I'm telling Lana, as this thing ended, I go, can you imagine you get done, or I get done with a show in New York City, and people are exiting, and I'm riding a horse down 7th Avenue?
With a
blindfold on.
That's a nice touch.
Now, wait. I thought you meant like, you know, there's somebody guiding the horse.
No! There's two horses. And a guy moving people aside. So, it's the guy moving people aside, one horse, and then the second horse is Buccelli. Blind on a horse. And then at the end of it, he comes back and kind of gallops through the rolling hills and comes back up, and everybody's kind of lined up just taking photos of this guy trot through Tuscany, gets off the horse, they shove him in a car, and he's gone in a helicopter.
Oh my God. And then when he's on the helicopter, he looks over at his assistant and goes, got killed, right? I sensed that killed, and he's like, oh, it was unbelievable. Dude, that's the most insane thing I ever heard.
I couldn't believe it. I go, that is the best. It was better than the show. This guy exiting blind on a horse. So we had a blast in Tuscany. Great restaurant we went to, Bottega di Trenta.
Hold on, man. This exiting, One time when I saw Billy Joel close Shea Stadium when the Mets used to play, he did a show and this guy got his tickets who's in the band, and he had on the show Tony Bennett, Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, Roger Daltrey, John Mayer, Garth Brooks, and then to close it out, Paul McCartney came out, and Billy Joel and Paul McCartney played like three tunes, right? It was this epic fucking show. Now, Shea is right on the water. 2 days later, I called a guitarist in Billy Joel's band, and I go, dude, what was it like after the show? You got everybody hang out and shit? And he's like, everybody who performed left as soon as they were done. So when the show ended, it was just Billy Joel's band and Paul McCartney. Mm. McCartney immediately was whisked away in a car into New York City. Billy Joel has, right outside the stadium, was his private boat. And he walks out, he gets chauffeured over to his boat, gets on his boat, and it's just Billy Joel and the guy who takes care of his boat. And Billy Joel captains his own fucking boat. And just takes his boat home. And he goes, and the guitarist goes, I know this because Joel called me on the boat. He goes, like a schoolgirl, like so excited, going, how fucking crazy was that, McCartney? Because he didn't know McCartney was going to make it. I can't believe we got to sing with McCartney. And, you know, and the guitarist is like, where are you now? He's like, I'm driving my boat home. I thought that was great. Blind guy on a horse fucking triple trumps that any day. Holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't beat that exit if you tried. The fact that he's on a horse, but then he's blind on top of it. I mean, could you imagine the meeting, right? I mean, because from what I understand, this Buccelli doesn't like to talk about his blindness. He apparently was born with some type of sight problem, and then at 12 years old... during a soccer game, I guess, in an accident where he went completely blind. And he doesn't really like to talk about it. But this guy does anything that a person with sight does. So he doesn't let the blindness kind of hinder his, living his life.
Yeah, but that's because he sings like an angel. I mean, you know, if he was a blind guy who used to be a plumber and then he got on a horse, they'd be like, Tony, get off the fucking horse. You're going to hurt somebody.
But there's got to be a meeting. There's got to be something where he's sitting around and goes, you know, after the show, Andrea, what do you want to do? You know, you just want to just exit stage left? And then he goes, nah, you know what? I'd like to get like a stallion and then ride it through the crowd. And they got to be looking at each other like he knows he's blind, right?
Yeah, the logistics. That's like Pamplona, man. What are we doing? Riding with the bulls here? I mean, but now it's like the problem now is, you know, next year if you go to the show, after the show, everyone's going to be lingering. If he doesn't do that, everyone's going to be going, wait, where's the fucking horse?
Yeah, now he's set a precedent. Every time you go see this guy, you think he's going to come out in a horse. I saw there was posters of him around the event of him on a horse, and I'm like, oh, it's probably maybe something to do with the opera that he's on a horse or what. I had no idea this guy was going to be on the horse on the exit.
Wow, it sounds like the horse is his move, man. It sounds like it's his move.
And it seemed to be kind of a theme throughout the vacation of exiting, because I was telling you this when you were over in Venice, which was amazing. What a magical city Venice was. We were in the pool, and I don't know how the listeners do it, or you and Jackie had said, or you had said that you and Jackie kind of do this. You look for the couple at the pool that you could possibly maybe start talking with, like someone who kind of looks like you, embodies some of the same things. Height, well.
I would never hang with another couple. That's not my thing. But you look at the couple, like I'd say to Jackie, if we had to hang tonight with one of these couples and go to dinner, who looks like the cool couple that would be fun to hang out with?
Okay, like you would say that at the pool, kind of laying out, getting some sun with Jackie, right? You would turn over. Okay. And I say that to Lana. We have these conversations. My question to you is, do you think if you took 100 couples and interviewed them at the pool and asked them what they're talking about while they lay out, do you think percentage-wise anybody would be talking the way me and you? I mean, 10, 20%? What do you think?
you know, you would like to think everybody is, but then you're surprised how you look around and some people aren't talking at all, or you meet friends and they go, yeah, we don't do that. So yeah, probably 20% maybe.
20% you think are just like doing like, we do like to do like little scenarios.
Yeah.
Like the woman got in the pool and she had like a swimming cap on. And, you know, we talked about the woman in the swimming cap for about 5 minutes. You know, like where you think she's from, you think she stays here a lot. You know, like we kind of analyze everything that's going on at the pool.
Yeah, but you're nice. That's what you say when you see a swimming cap? I would say, where you going?
But you should have saw the swimming cap. This was not any normal swimming cap.
Oh, I'm thinking shower cap. Oh,
no, man. No, this was a cap that an older woman had on, but it looked like one of the hats that you would see at the Kentucky Derby. It would look beautiful.
Oh, really? Did it have one of those little rubber flowers on the side?
Yeah, it had like a flower, a beautiful like floral arrangement. I've never seen a swimming cap quite like it. But
see, I do this stuff, if you see someone like at the pool at 9 in the morning and they're drinking a Coke, I look at Jackie and go, think he's only having a Coke at 9 because he's on vacation? Doubt it. Right? That kind of shit?
Yeah. Like scenarios. Like, I don't know. It's fun, right? So anyway, Lana and I sizing up this couple. Now, the girl was beautiful. And the guy, I never seen anybody like, he looked like Superman.
Like Clark Gable, like dark hair?
Dark, long hair, you know, just shredded. Gets in the pool with his girl, and it's Olympic-sized pool, and he starts doing the breaststroke.
No, you said the butterfly.
Oh, sorry, the butterfly. He's doing the butterfly. Now, the butterfly, if I've never seen that done in a vacation pool.
Right? I said to you, we were hanging. I don't think I've ever seen... I've seen Jackie do it like 3 for 3 and then can't do any more. But to see someone just doing the butterfly, you're more inclined to end up seeing a whale in your lifetime than seeing a human doing the butterfly in non-competitive situations.
Yeah, this guy's doing it for like recreational exercise on vacation. So I go, look at the guy's doing the butterfly. So Lana's like...
When they come up with that butterfly and both of those arms come flying and their shoulders are up and the water's coming down off their goggles like... you're like, fucking... That's like more impressive than seeing a dolphin whiz around that fucking pool.
Yeah, no, it's so aggressive. The swim technique is so aggressive that he leaves like a wake... There's like waves after he's done swimming.
Absolutely. A small mammal could water ski off of his fucking neck with a rope. I hear you, man.
So Lana's like, we got to talk to this couple. She's like, go get something going. And I'm not the type. I'm not the type to get something going.
Now I'm thinking this guy did the butterfly to, like, his wife probably said, they were talking about you guys, seemed kind of cool. And he's like, I'll belt out a couple of laps of the butterfly. How do you not talk to a guy after he does a butterfly? So that's what made Lana, was the over the top for Lana going, this guy, we got to meet Mr. Fucking.
Yeah, no, this is it. This guy is unbelievable. So, wait, but do you think his girl said, honey, I'd like to meet that couple, get in the pool and start doing your butterfly?
I don't know if she said that, but you don't just do the butterfly unless you're trying to make a statement for everyone around the pool. That's all I'm saying. There was a reason to do that. But if you're on vacation like that and you don't give a shit about anyone around you, you do what you accidentally said. You do the breath stroke. Nice, easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. Butterfly. Come look at me. Come talk to me.
Flipper. Yeah, this guy was flaring, and he was flaring hard.
Can he swim?
With a name like Rock?
No time to waste. Let's go. Another lap. Another lap. Move it. Another lap.
He ain't no tuna. We belong back in the gym.
Look, he's got a stretch and used muscles he never thought he had. Come on, Rock.
So it worked. He came by us.
What was he wearing, by the way? Was his suit like great?
Great, great swimsuit. Yeah. You know, like... Let's get into... Have we talked about swimsuits? Male swimsuits?
No.
Oh, we haven't talked about this?
No.
All right. Well, here's one. The male swimsuit in the United States is a complete utter embarrassment. And you'll see it. You'll see it. These swimsuits, they drop past the knee, right? They're board shorts. That's what they call them. Right? They look like pants.
I understand. I have a pair that go far down, but not below the knee.
Okay. Well, if you look at about 85% of the guys either at a beach or a pool in the United States, they have what they call a board short.
I know it, man. I don't. Certain guys pull it off. The surfers, I get it. But overall, I hear you, man. I don't like that. What are you, Huckleberry Finn?
Yeah, you might as well be wearing pants. I mean, they're so damn long. So, I've done it. I've had a pair. But I say about 3 years ago, I start going with this swimsuit that's, I'd say, maybe 4 inches above the knee.
Like shorts.
Shorts, but a bathing suit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, little higher than shorts would be. Like maybe like not as high as men's basketball uniform.
No. Not like an athletic short. I'm talking like a little shorter than that, but tapered. You know, not baggy, not a Speedo by any means. Just a nice swim trunk.
Yeah. I got a brown one, very similar like that. Sounds very similar.
This guy had those, but he had a variation of it, which, you know, I should have asked him, where the hell did you get these? Because I've never even seen anything like it. This guy was like an enigma. So Lana strikes up a conversation because he's near us. And this guy starts, it's one of these guys that wasn't bragging. It's like, this is his life. You know, he was a lawyer in the entertainment business, and now he's running a hedge fund. On top of that, he's got an accent from South Africa, and, you know, type of guy that just throws the word villa around like it's nothing. He's like, yeah, I was just hanging out in my buddy's villa up in Tuscany. Yeah. And then he's just like cool. Like, where are you guys coming from? Well, I'm from Amalfi. Oh, yeah, I summer in Amalfi. Where do you summer? Where do I summer? My backyard. Exactly. That's why I summer. This guy's summering in the Amalfi. He's got a boat. The whole thing. Now, we talked to him for about a half an hour, and we're in the pool. And me and Lana are kind of up on the wall of the pool talking, and he's talking to us, but we're on the wall. Like, our backs are towards the wall of the pool. And when the conversation's done, the guy exits the conversation.
Yeah.
Doing the butterfly. I mean, do you think that's planned? What is that?
That's ridiculous. Ridiculous. I mean, come on. So how does that even work? He says, take care. And then his whole body just turns and dives.
Yeah. He does the take care. I shake his hand. And as I shake his hand, he does that like curl dive backwards.
Oh, yeah.
I know it.
And then he's under, and then when he pops up, so there's that split moment where he's under, where there's still a part of you going, don't be a dick, just stay on the water and swim away. Oh, here comes the pop-up, and then back into the butterfly. Oh, God.
And it was not a few butterflies, and then he stopped. The guy just kept going.
Well, he knows if I just do three, they'll think it was for show. If I breath out a lap or two, I'm working out.
He's one of these guys that, I don't know if you've seen guys go into a pool. Like, they dive into a pool, and then they stay underwater for a while, and you look at him and go, is this guy coming up? Like, how much breath? Like, for myself, when I go underneath water, I don't have the capacity of my lungs to swim underwater for a while. So I'll dive in the water, and once the momentum from the dive is over, I come up.
You let it lift you. It's lifting me. It's telling me, yeah.
Yeah, it's telling me you got to come up. This is the type of guy who will dive in the pool, and he'll do one of those Michael Phelps, like, weird... Have you ever seen them? Like, they swim with their face, and
the whole body, it's almost like a serpentine. They just like go through the water like that. I go, this guy, it's unbelievable.
Well, Jackie used to be a lifeguard, and she swam competitively and was really good. So that same thing, like she'll go underwater, and anytime you go in a pool with her the first time on a vacation, especially if her dad's there, he's competitive too. They always want to see who can go further underwater. And I'm always like, I'm not even doing it. I'm not, because the minute I feel like I'm running out of air, I'm not, what do we win? Do I get a prize? I'm coming up. I can't go far either.
Yeah, same with me. I pop right up. I'm like, what am I trying to do here?
Yeah. I feel like this guy, this Superman guy you're talking about, I feel like he thinks everything he does, somebody's there, everyone's watching. You're all always watching.
Yeah, definitely this guy had an audience. Then he got out of the pool.
I don't like him.
Hey, listen, I didn't think I was going to like the guy either, but after talking to him for a while, really solid guy. Really nice guy. Just one of these guys that so involved. We didn't even meet the wife. She didn't even come over.
See, this is what I'm saying, man. He probably gave us some sort of a signal. If I give you a hand signal, they're worthy of coming over. Right? And no offense, man. You and Lana are top shelf. That's what I'm saying. This guy's a schmuck. I don't like him. Did you exchange? Did he give you a card?
No. And I don't know if you do this. This apparently is commonplace. But he introduced himself first and last name. Do you do that?
No, man. Pete.
Yeah, my name's Pete. My name's Sebastian, right? You don't go into a, hey, Pete Correa. What is that?
I mean, a lot of men in business do that even when they're socially hanging out because they're just so used to doing it, you know?
But what is it?
It's my name, man. I am blah, blah, blah.
I just don't understand I just don't understand it.
When you said Sebastian, did he or you, when you started to tell him you're a comic and he asked you what you did he then ask your last name?
No, he starts saying, and then And when you tell people you're a comedian, they don't know that you're a comedian or they never saw your work. I think automatically people think, oh, that's nice. You do comedy. How's that going for you? I've often got that impression that people look at entertainment as kind of like, oh, good luck with that. Or,
yeah, if
you know,
I didn't hear you, if you're not uber famous, then you're probably not making it. But with this Clark Kent guy, it's like, if he's wondering if you're funny, it's like, bro, I'm sitting next to you in a Chase Lounge chair.
Well, he goes,
you think I won a contest?
Yeah, so I said, I got a Showtime special coming out in November. He's like, I don't own a TV. I don't even watch television. You know, it's one
dick,
of these guys.
What a dick!
No TV. That's how busy this guy is.
Did he follow up with, I don't own a TV, I don't watch television, but is there any way I can get that? I'd love to see it. Or just that was it?
No, he goes, my girlfriend always tells me, any normal human being has a TV. And he goes, all right, I'll get a TV. I said, but it doesn't even, it's like, that doesn't even bother him. It doesn't even faze him that the guy doesn't even have a television set.
Right.
So he goes, oh, you must be a real, a big deal then, if you, and I was like, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't even know how to answer that.
Yeah, I'm doing well. Things are good.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I can't do the butterfly.
I can't do the butterfly. But, my shorts look like yours. So what'd you say? You said, yeah, I'm doing good, man.
Yeah, no, I said, I can't complain. Things are, actually, what I really said to him is I looked at him, I go, guy, I'm a big deal. Just to see if he would get the sarcasm, And he half got it and he half didn't.
But did he at all ask your last name to, like, look into your stand-up to see it?
I said, my website, if you wanted to check it out, and I'd be in New York in December if you wanted to come to a show with his girl.
Why, he lives in New York?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, cool. I didn't know he lived in New York. I thought he lived in Italy.
No, but it might as well. It sounds like the guy's gallivant. Like on his first, here, you're going to love this. He's like, on my first date, this girl he's been dating for a year that he's with at the hotel. He's like, on my first date, we went to we went to Paris. What?
Paris on the first date.
From New York?
Yeah.
Ah, the rich do that. I think you can do it in like three and a half hours.
Is that what happens? Is that something that's just like, we went to Paris? Where'd you go on your first day? I go, we went to get a sushi.
Yeah, oh, sushi. Even that's like, geez, who gets sushi on the first date?
Yeah.
That's an expensive date, man. Let's start out with coffee, see if you're worthy of food on the second one. Damn. Let alone Paris. Yeah, they leave out of New York. What the rich and famous like to do is get up, have a quick coffee, and then get on their jet, you know, read, whatever it is. And by the time you land, you lunch in Paris.
Wow.
And you hop back on, you're home for dinner.
Well, as long as we're on Paris, I got to tell you, I've never seen a place this expensive in my entire life. We went to the Four Seasons in Paris to get a drink. Actually, we got two drinks. Could you give me an estimate of how much?
What kind of drinks? I really want to take.
I got two Manhattans, and Lana got like what's similar to probably a mojito.
All right, so two Manhattans and a mojito.
Two Manhattans and two mojitos.
Two Manhattans, two mojitos at the Four Seasons Bar in Paris.
Yeah.
Okay, I've had, martinis with my pop at the Four Seasons in New York City, so I have a good feeling for this. I'm guessing in American dollars, you're looking at like $87.
$150. Can you believe?
Did you tell Clark Kent that you saw Pacelli on a horse? Because that would have fucking got his attention.
No. Yeah, I don't tell anybody anything. I just sit and listen. There's a lot of times I just sit and listen. I don't do a lot of talking.
I hear you, man. So anyway, were you blown away at this $150 or what?
I mean, that's insane, bro. $150. Now, the drinks were amazing. What they did, here's a couple things that I kind of picked up on. They bring you a spoon to stir your drink, and the ice cube is like a block. It's almost like a square. It's one, and it fits in the glass and basically takes up a lot of the glass. Have you seen these ice cubes?
No.
They came out about 3 years ago, I think. That's when I started seeing them on a regular basis, where it's almost like a block of ice, but it's cut like in almost like a rectangle, and you drop it in a rocks glass, and that's your ice. It's just solid ice.
But so it basically sits at the bottom of the glass.
It takes up the entire glass almost. So, you know, like if you're gonna have like a rocks glass, it's the height of the cube is the height of the glass almost.
Oh, and your booze is in something separate, and you pour it.
No, it's all in there. The booze is in there.
Oh.
It's a block of ice. Instead of having individual cubes, it's right. Just a block of ice in your drink.
Okay.
Now, they have a spoon that you kind of stir your drink. Not a stir stick. This is like a small spoon. And on the side, they bring a spoon holder. So it's like it's hard to explain.
I'm with it.
It's not where the spoon lays in a spoon holder.
Like a ladle, when you have those ladles for your stirring sauce, and there's that thing you can lay it on, like a little usually ceramic thing that the ladle sits on if you want.
Yeah, but this is the entire spoon. It's almost like they took a, I don't want to say plastic because it looks like almost glass, and then they burned a spoon into the glass, and you lay the spoon into the spoon insert.
Got it.
And this is what you get on the side, and then they have a three different variety of snacks. So this, I think they had some hazelnut, some olives, and some, I forget what it was. And then they brought you Evian, and all that is $150.
Mmm. Wow.
And I just don't understand it. They're raping people.
Well, I mean, did you get a lot of booze out of this?
No, it was a great drink, and it was good. I mean, if you got this drink and you paid $15 for it, you'd say this is a great drink.
What's in a Manhattan? What's the booze in a Manhattan?
It's Maker's Mark. I like it with Maker's Mark.
And it, what is it usually, like a shot of Maker's Mark in a Manhattan?
It's probably an ounce and a half of whiskey.
And did you at least still get your ounce and a half of whiskey?
I would think there's 2 ounces in the drink I got.
All right. I mean, it's a ripoff, but it's also beautiful where you sit.
Right? Yeah, no, listen, I'm not complaining about the... I mean, I know why it's expensive there, but I mean,
not
it's,
complaining,
it's,
I'm just
it's,
saying.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
It is.
Okay, here. I had a Red Bull in my room out of the mini bar. Can you give me a price on the Red Bull?
Where are we? Paris?
We're at a hotel in Paris. It's a 5-star hotel.
5-star hotel. Can? Little can?
Can. Something that you would probably buy at 7-Eleven.
Gotcha. I'm saying 17.
$16.
Oh, I'm getting closer. Holy shit. How did they write that price and not go, this is so fucked up.
I don't know. I'll give you another one as long as we're on guessing the price. We went to a small island outside of Venice, and we went for lunch. And we had the catch of the day, which was sea bass. Now, I got to find out what 1 kilo... Do you know what 1 kilo is? This is a Google that shit.
I didn't even know there were islands off of Venice. This is like...
Yeah, we took a private boat ride to... two different islands off of Venice.
I gotta tell you, man, listening to your vacation, if I was an executive at Travel Channel, I'd go, what the fuck are we doing with this stupid Alaska shit every other day? This guy's doing cooking shows in Ravello. Then there's an island. Did anyone even know there was an island off of Venice? What a fucking Travel Channel. This is hilarious to me, man.
Yeah, who needs this Anthony Bourdain, man?
Where's he
telling you.
Yeah.
I'll give you what we had for lunch, and then you tell me. First of all, we had a 2.2-pound fish. 2.2 pounds.
I have no idea, but I'll take a guess. Keep going.
Okay, 2.2 pounds is like, it's hard to
describe. I know how much meat that is in fish.
It's good for two people. If you and Jackie wanted to go out, they bring it to the table, they chop the head, they chop the fin, they cut it table side, and you get a portion. You basically get one half, and she gets the other half. Okay, and they take out the skeleton or the bones.
All in front of you in a little beautiful restaurant on an island, probably in sight of Venice, would I imagine?
No, it's not one of these high-end lunch places. It's just a little restaurant, and you're sitting outside, and there's like a little, a little river, a little canal right by you with a boat dock there. And nothing fancy.
Can you see Venice in the distance?
No.
You're
in a small little town that produces silk. That's their main thing. That's what they do. They do silk napkins, scarves, tablecloths. And they got a small town. Each building in the town or each house in the town is a different color, and the reason being is they had a lot of fishermen there at one point, and the fishermen would get so drunk when they came home at night they didn't know what house they lived in, so they started painting the houses, so that's all they would have to do is look for the color red, and they knew that was the house. That's how fucked up,
man,
they got.
That's so cool. That's so cool, man. That's like when I was walking around Boston last week, they were telling me all these really old pubs, and the guy's like, see how they have no windows? It was because the guys, you know, the Irish migrant workers, you know, coming off the boats with such hard drinkers with no windows, the wives would come down, and they weren't allowed in the bars, and they couldn't find their husband. They would used to look through windows and yell at them, so they'd make them have no windows. So this is such a great island that you're on, man. All right, and you're sitting there. See, that all plays into it, man. They know they're not just slinging fish dockside fucking some dump off the coast of Coney Island, man. This is goddamn island off of Venice, and we make silk here, and the history here is wonderful.
It's not silk. It's lace.
That's what they do. Lace. I don't know why I said silk. It's lace.
That changes everything. That just
it's called Burano is the name of the island. Burano is the island.
Two pieces of fish filleted up in front of you. I'm guessing, what are we talking, man? I'd say about a $1.40 for you two.
$168.
I don't think that's, I mean, just the fish, or you got the side dishes with it? And
just the fish. $168. Have you ever paid $168? For fish in the United States?
No, but I've never eaten fish on an island off the coast of fucking Venice, bro.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know where they're getting it. It's like a rape, man. They see you coming and they rape you galore. Everything you do in Europe is $1,000. No.
Everything you do in Europe. You could go to Paris, smoke a joint, and see Jim Morrison's grave for free. But you'd be going, hey, I'm on vacation going to a fucking tombstone.
Oh, fuck, man. I just, listen, had a blast. I'd do it all over again. But I found out in Venice that they got a separate menu for the locals.
Get out of here. Oh, that's fucked. Up
what? Now, could you imagine that happening in Los Angeles, where a Chinese guy walks into the Four Seasons or walks into a restaurant and they're charging him more than the citizens? There'd be an uproar.
There would be an uproar.
This is racism. This is a dick, and we're getting hosed over there.
I tell you though, you gotta respect the way they stick together, man.
Oh yeah, everybody's in on it, man. It's a group scam.
God, you almost got a scalp. You got to get someone to buy the local guy to buy the fish for you.
Yeah.
They charge you $168, they charge him $30. You go, I'll give you $50. Get me two sea bass.
Well, I thought that the guy, I'm never a guy to complain, but I called the guy, I thought that the fish you catch today on the menu said €40. Oh, no. You got something else. I go, it's sea bass, right? Branzino? Yeah. I said, we're right here. The ocean's right here. Where are you going to get the damn thing? I could see if I was having an Irish fish in Italy, maybe we 168 it. But the fish is a local fish.
Yeah, I think it was George Wallace, but there was an old time bit of Comic Cat about, why is fish more expensive the closer I am to the water?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it be the other way around? Yeah. Oh, my. I can't believe you're on your honeymoon and you're arguing the price.
Oh, this one I had to, because you know why? I felt like this particular excursion we did with the boat is they took us to another island that is known for blowing glass.
Yeah.
So we went to see how glass is blown with the ovens and this and that. And then they take us upstairs, and then they try to sell you a vase, right?
Yeah, or bongs that they have. They had bowls galore.
No, this wasn't that type of place. We're in Italy, guy. This is not some. You don't go to Italy in a glass blowing place when they're doing vases and chandeliers, and then see a bong.
Well, hey, all right. If you want to make a buck, you do.
We're not in Denver.
Well,
okay.
So far, I would have enjoyed this vacation, but I think I would have bailed on the glass making. Whether you're making bongs or vases, but okay.
So, and then they try and sell you that. And then they go to another island, and they try and sell you the lace. They said, oh, this is how we do the lace here. They have some old woman who's about 80 years old propped up in a chair making a lace tablecloth. And then they take you around and show you lace dresses. And it's like, enough, man. You know, like, yeah. I don't like to be solicited while I'm on vacation on a private boat tour.
I quite frankly, man, I see lace on a dining room table. I'm thinking, am I eating with Amish people right now?
Yeah, I forget it. Like, come on.
You took the private boat over. They probably have someone there with binoculars eyeballing everybody coming in on private boats. I mean, you should have said, if I buy some lace and bring it downstairs, do I get a discount on the fish? Did you buy any? By the way, Jackie asked me to ask you guys, did you do some shopping?
We did. We did some clothing shopping. But other than that, we didn't. And again, this, I don't do this when I'm on vacation. I don't buy trinkets or knickknacks.
Ah,
you do this.
We buy. We try to buy a Christmas ornament wherever we go, and add it to the tree. That's all.
Okay, that's what my sister-in-law does. She does that. It's a nice way to kind of remember your trip. Christmas ornament. I like it.
It gives you a reason to go into a little shit store from time to time. You know, as far as those little trinket stores go. But I hear you, man. You should get yourself some Italian duds.
I got a jacket. I needed a sport jacket for a dinner that we were going to, because we had asked the hotel, is it formal and do you need a jacket? I said, yeah, a jacket. It would be nice. So I went and bought a jacket, which I needed, a sport jacket. And I get to the restaurant and there's guys there without the jacket. So I start to think, that's all in line. I go, they didn't make me, but they told me that I needed a jacket to get in this joint, and now I'm watching people get in there with no jacket. It kind of aggravated me a little bit.
I hear you. Even though you probably look fantastic, and you probably loved your jacket, and maybe even enjoyed shopping for it. All that is not the point, man. I thought there were rules. I feel like there's double standards for the Italians and everybody else who comes to this little fucking place, man. Right?
Well, this was in Paris where I bought. We did the shopping in Paris.
Oh,
and it was fun shopping, and I gotta tell you something I got on the vacation that I think you start getting into when you're in your 40s with a coat, sports jacket, is a pocket square. What do you think?
What do you mean, the handkerchief?
Yeah, in the pocket.
I don't think so. I think you're too young for that, man. I really do.
Young.
Well, are we talking about a functioning handkerchief or one that you've never planned on taking out?
No, this thing's in for decoration. It just shows, a little accent piece. It just shows from the top of the pocket. You know, it's not fluffed out. Just a little.
All right, like what would happen, let's say, if you got this handkerchief and you're in a situation. I'm not even going to try and figure it out, but you find yourself in a situation where there's a young lady in your presence and she's sobbing hysterically, right? Do you think there's a part of her that's going to be going, I can't believe this fucking guy's not offering me the hanky?
What I paid for this pocket square, I'm going to get her a Kleenex.
Does the pocket square unfold, though, to a functioning hanky if you want?
Yeah, you could blow your nose in it.
You could. Well, then, I mean, if it's functioning, I guess. But no, man, what do you want, a yacht? Come on, you're not Mr.
Howell. I don't know, man. I felt I was in Paris. I felt like I needed a pocket square.
Look, when I went to Paris, I fell in love with eating bread just as the way we eat slices of pizza. I brought that home. I tried to walk a city street just eating a loaf of bread. Everyone's looking at me like, this fucking animal can't wait till he gets home with the pasta. You got to leave the pocket over there. If you go back there, you can do the pocket, but you can't bring the pocket fucking hanky.
You can't bring the pocket back here.
No, not unless you have a yacht, dude. You can't. You just can't. I hear you. You want to bring some of these things home, but did you find when I was there, I hate to do the cliche like everyone says, but I did find the French are just very standoffish, man. They're just not that pleasant to us.
You know, I didn't find that they were rude, but coming from Italy, going to Amalfi, then Tuscany, then Venice, and then finally ended up in Paris, you really feel a warmth with the Italian people that you do not get in Paris. They're very stale. They're
assholes. You know. They're assholes. I'm sorry. I'm saying it. Sebastian's not.
Yeah, okay. They're assholes.
You go to Italy, and there's more of this. You feel welcome. When you go to Paris, specifically in France, it's more of, we need your money, so we'll tolerate you.
Yeah.
That's how I felt.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're a guest. You feel like you're in the way.
Yes, man. Exactly. I didn't enjoy Paris nearly as much as I enjoyed Rome.
No, I agree. I mean, you can't beat Italy when it comes to a vacation. I mean, I'm sure there's fantastic places in the world that people have been, and but I mean, Italy as a whole, from the culture to the food to the people to the topography, I just don't think you could beat it.
No, and you know, getting back to earlier when you said, you know, you guys don't really sightsee. When we did the whole big Italy thing with the Amalfi Tube, and we were in Rome and we went to the Colosseum, there was a really long line. I remember it was back when we were both smoking cigarettes, and we're smoking a butt off to the side, and we both just peek our head through the bars and look in, and I come out, and we look at each other. I go, I'm good. You good? She says, I'm good. Yeah. It's like, I got to go in, and, ooh, I can't believe the lions used to. If there was no line, I'd be in there in a minute, man.
I know. I agree. The Louvre was the same way. The Mona Lisa. We wanted to see the Mona Lisa. It's all the way in the back. You got to walk through the entire museum to get to this Mona Lisa. I was telling Lana, just put it up front. That's why we're all here.
Who are we kidding, man? Let's get to it. Let's get to it.
God.
But sometimes you just got to look yourself in the mirror and say, when in Rome.
When I was in Boston, I'm into history, so I took a day just to go see Paul Revere's house.
Yeah.
And there was a guy, it was a long line, but there was a guy dressed like a colonial guy, and you pay... And you go on a walking tour with him. God, man, he was saying such interesting shit that I was like following them, but like 20 yards away. And after a while, I could see some of them looking like, look at this cheap fuck trying to get in on the audio tour. And at one point, they went down this one alley where like there's no reason you'd go down that alley unless you paid for the tour. And I'm like, yeah. God damn, I couldn't go down. But I bring it up because then I went over to the... It's called the Old North Church, and it's where Paul Revere, you ever hear One If By Land, Two If By Sea?
Yeah.
Where he lights light the North Church, he comes running back on his horse. So I go into the church where they light the lanterns that let us know how the British were coming. And there was a woman dressed like that time period, and she's at the front of the church, and it was just starting, and you just pay a dollar and you go in. And you sit down and she starts, and I'm by myself, and she's doing one of these whole things about, now, Paul, you have to understand, Mr. Revere was a really fun, you know, and she's like talking as if she knew the guy.
Yeah.
And it was really entertaining, but a little weird.
Yeah.
And my question is, do you think after that she literally can just change and like maybe she's out back lighting up a palm and like going, let's fucking go get a couple pints tonight, man. What the fuck? Or do you think she's like probably weird all the time a little?
I gotta go with weird constantly.
You can't shut that off. I mean, if you're doing that, there's part of you that's like a little weird probably.
No, you gotta be psychotic. If you're pulling off a Mr. Revere wanted everyone to be safe, and then after that, there's no way you could shut that down without being like schizophrenic.
I would agree. There's like these four giant eagle statues, and she's telling this whole long story about how they were built in America and then stolen, and then a guy got them on a boat and brought them back, and even though they were stolen from somewhere else, we got them, and they were donated to the church because this was that pirate's church when he stole them back. So to this day, we have four eagle statues, and Mr. Pirate, or whatever the guy's name is, thanks for the statues. And you're like, whoa, this broad, there's no way. There's no way, right?
No possible way.
Upon this battlement in 1836, 200 Texas volunteers, including such heroes as Davy Crockett, Bill Travis, and Jim Bowie, fought off an onslaught of 4,000 Mexican troops under the command of General Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna. At this time, I'd like to conclude our tour, and I mean it. Y'all have been one of the greatest groups I have ever worked with, really. Okay, are there any questions? Yes.
Where's the basement?
Excuse me?
Aren't we going to see the basement?
There's no basement at the Alamo.
All right. I don't know how much longer. I mean, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. We're back in the saddle.
Did I tell you when we were hanging out last week, I wanted to thank a guy named Matt. My Jeep broke down where I park it outside of the Buffalo airport. These guys let me park it. It's right next to the airport. And the battery died. And when I went back, I had no battery. My phone was fucking dead as usual. I had no way of I didn't know what I was going to do, man. And my buddy who works at the place wasn't even there. So I knock on the door of the business where they let me park. And a guy named Matt comes out. Matty, man, my savior. He listens to our cast, bro, a regular listener. And he comes out and he charges my vehicle. And while the vehicle's charging, he goes, just want to let you know, man, I listen to the cast all the time. And I'm like, thanks so much. And I wanted to thank him on the show. And I'm like, what's your last name? Broderick.
Wow.
So I'm like, when were you born? And he's like, 88. And I'm like, when did Ferris Bueller come out? He's like, 86. I'm like, who would do that to you? What? Come on, man. I mean, we were joking about that, but that's not right, right?
Do you think they saw the movie?
But just, what if your last name was Bach? Your dad couldn't name you Sebastian, right? That was right around when they were huge. Yeah! I'm sorry, what did you ask me?
Well, do you think they knew who Matthew Broderick was at the time?
1988, Ferris Bueller came out in 86. I mean, the guy he could have been on Money for a couple of years. Right? It was huge. Bueller. Everybody knew Ferris Bueller. I mean, that's what you say to this day when you take a day off. We're going to Ferris Bueller that shit, you know?
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I maybe they loved the movie.
Well, it turns out I don't even think they were big fans of the movie. They just loved the name Matthew.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they were like, it doesn't... Maybe, you know, maybe they thought, you know, that his career wouldn't last.
Yeah, who knows, man. Well, thanks, Matthew, for jumping Pete's Jeep.
Yeah.
Bueller.
You know, it's got to be tough when you go to restaurants with a reservation and you walk in, they're like, nah, it's just, nah. Forget it.
You lied.
No, I mean, you could still come in, but everybody don't get hopped up. We're not serving Sarah Jessica Parker tonight, after all. But go to PeteCorielli.com. I got hilarities coming up in Cleveland. I'm playing in Phoenix. I'm playing in Minneapolis. I'm playing in Edmonton. How about you? When are you back out on the road?
Next week, I go to Uncle Vinny's out in Point Pleasant, which is the Jersey Shore area. And then after that, I'm at Levity Live in West Nyack, New York. So I'm back out there again. These are my first shows after the special. So I'm looking forward to getting on stage again and seeing the fans out there. So thanks again, guys, for tuning into our show. Got some exciting news coming up for Pete and myself. We don't want to say anything just yet.
We landed on the moon!
We got some exciting stuff going on, right?
Yeah. And also, we certainly do, man. It's great to be back casting with you. DJ Lou, welcome home to you as well. Jimmy from Boston, fantastic meeting you guys. All right, bro.
All right, man. Great. Take care. We'll see you soon.
Later.
Bye.
The show has ended.
Right.
So he goes, "Oh, you must be a real, you know, a big deal then, you know, if you." And I, you know, I was like, "I don't know, man. I mean, I don't even know how to answer that."
Yeah, I'm doing well. Things are good.
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I can't do the butterfly.
But you know, my shorts look like yours.